The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And here we go. Welcome to a Thursday, everyone. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com, on the Progressive Voices Network, on a number of other streaming channels, available as a podcast afterwards, streaming video on YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitch, I think, and Twitter. If it's working, I'm never sure. It says it is, but then again, I don't really know. So you guys can tell me. There is a chat available. Anyway, we are here wherever possible, and I don't know. With each passing day, things get to be a little more real, and by real, I mean not very good. Oh my goodness! Happy Hanukkah, Errol in the YouTube chat room says. Yeah, Carta says that picture is scary and apt. The picture she's talking about is the title card that I put up for today. I put up a graphic for each day's show, and usually on Thursdays, you know, it's Howie Klein because Howie's our standing Thursday guest. But today, I lifted a photo from downwithtyranny.com from one of his posts that we will talk about today. In fact, the post is titled, "How much will taking away women's choice hurt the GOP in the midterms?" And the picture, the graphic that Howie has up with that post is of a bunch of handmaids from The Handmaid's Tale, you know, in their traditional red robes with the white hats. And there's Amy Coney Barrett out in front in her teal robe, which signifies, if you've watched the series on Hulu, that she is one of the citizens of Gilead who is working to further the human race by knocking up these handmaids who can conceivably conceive. So, yeah, this is where we are right now. It's pretty frightening. So because we're going to talk about that issue with Howie, I will leave that for the second part of the show. You know, we've been so... I shouldn't speak for all of us. I hope you got something out of our conversation with Kelly Carlin yesterday. And there is a link up. It's posted on yesterday's show at NicoleSandler.com/12-1-21. And a link to, if you would like to participate in her webinar, I think the cost of it, a few people have asked me, is $97. She did say that she would extend a special deal to listeners of this show. So if you go on there and you want to sign up, send her an email and say, Nicole said that there might be a special deal for her listeners, and she'll give it to you. All right. I'm sure of that. So do partake if you can. I would do it, except I actually have an event that I've been, confirmed to attend on December 11th for a month or so now. So I can't get out of that. It's one of the art craft holiday shows that I said I would do. So, but I hope you'll take advantage of it. I've done a few of these events with Kelly, and she's awesome. And if you're like me, you're struggling through these times, she can help you get centered. And that's what we all need right now. We all need some me time. Right. And with that in mind, I already warned you that tomorrow I'm going to welcome an old friend, a friendly acquaintance on the show from my days in music radio in Los Angeles. Chris Willman has been a music journalist for, well, as long as I've known him, and that's about 30 years. And these days he's the music guy at Variety. And he wrote the ultimate piece on the Beatles' Get Back, which I hope you've seen. If not, well, I hope you join us tomorrow. It is truly magical. It like transports you back in time 50 years so that you're sitting in the room with the Beatles. And this, you know, amazing amount of footage basically blows out of the water the dourness of the Let It Be movie. When you thought it was they were all at each other's throats and Yoko was the Antichrist and this caused the breakup of the Beatles, it paints a whole different picture, and it's joyous and it's wonderful. So I had already planned to, you know, have Chris Willman on for the second half of the show tomorrow. Great way to end the week on a Friday, I thought, considering that so many of us are watching this. And I'm not done with it yet. We are, I think we finished the second part and going into the third. It's hard for me because I sit down to watch TV and I fall asleep because I don't sleep at night. But that's my issue, not yours. Anyway, but then this morning I get an email and it concerns friend of the show, personal friend, Jason Leopold. Now, you know, Jason Leopold is the FOIA, the government referred to him as the FOIA terrorist. I hate that term. I say he's the FOIA master. The FOIA master. Anyway, Jason Leopold, through FOIA, just got, let me read to you what came in this email from BuzzFeed News this morning. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "Hi there, I'm Jason Leopold, a reporter on the investigations team. I'm writing to share some really exciting news about a Freedom of Information Act victory. After a two-year legal battle, we pierced the government's well of secrecy that protected portions of former special counsel Robert Mueller's report from being disclosed publicly. This week, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled in our favor and ordered the Department of Justice to unredact 10 passages. The redacted passages in the report revolve around Mueller's legal rationale of not being able to bring criminal charges against Donald Trump Jr. and others for campaign violations and a computer-related crime." He continues, he says, "The Mueller report is one of the most consequential prosecutorial documents ever released because the former guy routinely referred to the probe as a partisan witch hunt. It's crucial that as much detail as possible about the way Mueller conducted his investigation be revealed. It's taken years to achieve this victory because the government has fought every attempt we've made to make this information available to the public." So I read that. I'm like, okay, Jason, you need to come on tomorrow and tell us about this. And, you know, knowing Jason as I do, and I hope you do by now, listening to hear him on the show for so many years, Jason is also a music freak as I am. And I just knew that he'd already watched the entirety of the Beatles' Get Back, the Peter Jackson movie. And so what I said to him, so I'm going back through our messages. I said, "Hey, Jason, congrats on your newest victory. I'd love to have you on to talk about it. Here's an idea. Tomorrow, Chris Willman is joining me," and I explained who Chris Willman is, in case he doesn't know. He's the music reporter for Variety. I've known him for probably 30 years while I was at the New York Times, the LA Times. I said New York Times. LA Times, Entertainment Weekly, and others. We're going to talk about the Beatles' Get Back documentary, music in general these days. What would you think about coming on earlier in the show, talking about the FOIA victory, and then staying on with Chris and the three of us talking music? And he wrote back, in all caps, "Yes," followed by, you know, a bunch of exclamation points. So it'll be a sort of coming together of my two worlds of interest. And, you know, just as I knew, Jason said, let me just give you, he said, "The Beatles documentary is phenomenal. It led me to buy 5 albums of theirs on vinyl this week." So I knew he'd be enthusiastic about it. And just so you know where Chris Willman is coming from, I want to share with you a paragraph from his article about the documentary in Variety that I shared with Jason. And he wrote, "The making of music is the focus of a music documentary. What a concept. Get Back, playing out as it does at box-length set, is filled with dozens of moments of creative breakthroughs and just about as many of the Beatles being stymied. Some of the musical discoveries do come in the tense first part, but things really explode once they come to some understandings, mostly rendered off-screen, about how they're going to treat each other." Here's the good part. "Get Back isn't a breakup movie. It's a mini-series filled with great musical makeup sex. And even the official malcontent of the series, George Harrison, ends up going with the flow, when he breaks into that imperfect smile of his again and again, as good musical things happen in the second half, it's like, here comes the sun. And so, you know, when I'm constantly harping on you, embrace joy outside of politics. We need to talk about this shit because it's what we're dealing with. But you also need the other joy in life to balance things out. So tomorrow should be fun. We'll have Jason on at the beginning. We'll talk about his FOIA victory. We'll talk about why Donald Jr. wasn't prosecuted and why he probably should be, and what we didn't hear, what wasn't made public from the Mueller report. Thanks to Jason, we'll now know. And then we'll switch gears and talk music. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, on to where we are now. And I'm frankly freaking out a bit. You know, I was talking a bit recently, both online, like on Facebook with acquaintances, and in person with other people about what's happening with Medicare. And what's really sad is, even with the Build Back Better bill hopefully going through, fingers crossed, I'll give you an update on that in a minute or two. What we don't have is, or I should say what we do have, is a slow motion hijacking of Medicare. And I want to share with you, I'm going to read you an article from Common Dreams. I don't often read full articles like that. I'll read op-eds, but an article like this, I don't. But we've talked about Medicare Advantage. You see the commercials, you can't avoid them. You know, they're talking about, oh, not only will you get free everything and no premium, but we'll give you money back into your Social Security check. I mean, there's, you know, when things sound too good to be true, they usually are. So let me share. So the Medicare Advantage, you know, with the day that open enrollment started, Wendell Potter was on the program and we talked about it. You can go back and listen to this that show. Let me look for the date, see if I can find it offhand. I believe it was in mid-November. Would it have been? I don't know. Maybe the beginning of November. You know what? I will link to it when I post today's show at NicoleSandler.com/12-2-21. I'll link to the program with Wendell Potter. Oh, here it is. It was Friday. It was October 15th. That was the day open enrollment for Medicare began. You know, they do it at the end of every year. It's, I guess, October 15th through December 15th. That's the open enrollment period. And you just see these ads for all these Medicare Advantage programs. So on that show, which you can find posted at NicoleSandler.com/10-15-21, Wendell Potter explained the insidiousness of this shady deal whereby the for-profit insurance extortionists are taking over Medicare plans and administering them the same way they administer their regular for-profit health insurance policies. And that's by denying you the services that you need. But wait, there's more. It gets even worse. So listen to this. This article from Common Dreams, it was published Monday or Tuesday. Tuesday. And it's by Jake Johnson. And the headline reads, Congress asleep at the switch as Biden continues Trump-era ploy to privatize Medicare. And the subtitle reads, more than 1,500 physicians warn that the experiment threatens the future of Medicare as we know it. Yeah, this is bad. You know what? And I don't want to read the whole thing, but let me give you the gist of it. There's a program here, doctors, more than 1,500 physicians who believe this DC pilot program, DC standing for direct contracting, is threatening the future of Medicare. They're demanding that the Department of Health and Human Services immediately stop the Medicare experiment known as direct contracting. All right, let me just read directly from this, because if I try to paraphrase it, I'm going to screw it up. Advocates have been publicly sounding the alarm about the DC program for months, again, the direct contracting program for months, warning that it could fully hand traditional Medicare over to Wall Street investors and other profit seekers, resulting in higher costs for patients and lower quality care. Diane Archer, who I need to get on this program, the founder of Just Care USA and the senior advisor on Medicare at Social Security Works, I'm going to call Alex Lawson, and I will get Diane Archer on the show. She said, quote, "Everything we know about direct contracting should be cause to halt the pilot. Direct contracting effectively eliminates the more cost-effective traditional Medicare program designed to ensure that people with complex health conditions get the care they need. The direct contracting experiment is likely to be both a healthcare policy and a political nightmare." She said, "We already know from the Medicare Advantage experiment that direct contracting won't save money, nor will it be able to show improved quality." So the whole Medicare Advantage thing doesn't go far enough for them. Now they're doing this direct contracting thing. So listen to this. In a phone interview with Common Dreams ahead of Tuesday's demonstration at the headquarters of Health and Human Services, Dr. Ed Weisbart, he's chair of the Missouri chapter of Physicians for a National Health Program, said that Congress is largely asleep at the switch as Wall Street-backed startups and private insurance giants close in on traditional Medicare, a 56-year-old program that covers tens of millions of U.S. seniors. He said, "People don't know that it's happening. Most people in Congress don't know that it's happening. We've started having some of these conversations with congressional staff, and we're hoping to have many more of them next week when we're there, but it's not on their radar either." And he said that's the disturbing part. How radical the transformation of Medicare is becoming under this new model, how widespread it'll be the entire book of business. And yet that's occurring with neither the awareness nor consent of Congress. Holy shit. So this is not Medicare Advantage. This is the next ruse to privatize, completely privatize Medicare. And now the article tells us that this direct contracting program was established by the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation during the final months of the Trump administration. Of course it was. It included former pharmaceutical industry executives, Wall Street bankers, and right-wing policy consultants notorious for gashing public health programs. Under this model, so-called direct contracting entities, follow me here, are paid monthly by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to cover a specified portion of a patient's medical care. That's a significant shift from traditional Medicare's direct reimbursement of providers. DCEs, those are the direct contracting entities, are allowed to pocket the funding that they don't spend on care, an arrangement that critics believe will incentivize the private middlemen to skimp on Medicare patients. You think? And to make matters worse, many of those patients could be auto-enrolled into these DCEs without their knowledge or permission. And it gets worse. According to a policy brief released by the Physicians for National Healthcare Program, quote, "Virtually any company can apply to be a DCE, including investor-backed startups that include primary care physicians, Medicare Advantage plans, and other commercial insurers, accountable care organizations or ACO-like organizations, and for-profit hospital systems. Applicants are approved by CMS without input from Congress or other elected officials." Wow. Now we learn that 53 of these DCEs are already in operation in 38 states, plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. 28 of them are controlled by investors, not even by healthcare providers. And a second tranche of these DCEs are expected to debut next month. This is stunning. I'm going to keep reading because I'm hoping you're understanding what a big deal this is. Dr. Anna Malino, a physician from San Francisco who's taking part in the petition delivery that happened on Tuesday, by the way, said in a statement that, quote, "Medicare Advantage, The first wave of Medicare privatization showed us that inserting a profit-seeking middleman into public coverage does not save money for taxpayers, but rather costs more money while also taking away care choices from seniors. If left unchecked, the direct contracting program will hand traditional Medicare off to Wall Street investors without input from seniors, doctors, or even members of Congress. Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra has the power to stop this Trump-era program in its tracks and must do so now. So I'll post the article. There's a lot more to it. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you need to read it. I'll post it on the blog where I post today's show, and I'll send it out in all, you know, social media on Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. But, you know, it's just one more way that they're fucking us over. I'm telling you, I've got 3 years or 2 years and 11 months now before I turn 65. Is that right? 62, 63. Yeah. And I have a feeling Medicare as we know it today will not be here for me when I turn 65. How's that for optimism for you? Yeah. But, you know, we can always read. How's that for a segue? At the end of the show yesterday, I told you about this item I saw on, you know, how they're trying, when I say they, I'm talking about the American right wing. I hate to even call them the Republican Party, although they have taken over the Republican Party. But these crazy right wing Christian Sharia practicers, because that's the only way I can think about it, who want to take away women's rights to do what they want to do with their own bodies, to determine whether or not we're going to carry a pregnancy to term. They want to strip you of that power. They are also trying to take books out of the libraries. Not only do they want to ban books, in many cases, they're burning them. Seriously, burning them. So I came across a meme about Banned Books Week. And I don't know when Banned Books Week was, but apparently it wasn't too long ago. And there was this meme. It says, "Happy Banned Books Week. These are the most banned books from public libraries and schools in the U.S. And I don't know how current this list is, but I put the list up and links to each of those books that are available for purchase. And I suggest that these books, including To Kill a Mockingbird, Catcher in the Rye, Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Slaughterhouse-Five, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Lord of the Flies, Animal Farm, The Scarlet Letter, 1984, and didn't I already say Fahrenheit 451, which is the, you know, the icing on the cake there, that you buy them as holiday gifts for not only young people in your life, but maybe some of those family members who are Trump supporters. And tell them to read. So the links I have up on the banned book page at NicoleSandler.com, you'll find a banned books icon in the main navigation menu, are all through bookshop.org, which is a great alternative to Amazon. They give a lot more of a percentage to the actual authors, and they're not Amazon. So if you purchase them through the links that I provide on the website, I get a small, you know, kickback commission, just to be honest with you. And, you know, I thought right now we could probably all use a song. So take it away, Lauren Mayer. We haven't heard from you in a little bit.
Some parents have a problem with books that are too rough, tackling things like race and gender or with characters who curse. Our kids are far too precious to expose them to this stuff, though the music that they listen to is way, way worse. Don't give a book on CRT to my sweet son or daughter, or about any love but married heterosexual romance. We must shield kids from the sacrilegious spells in Harry Potter and that anti-authoritarian Captain Underpants. Ban the books.
Ban the books.
Ban the books.
Ban
think of all the minds and hearts they are infecting. Ban the books.
Ban the books.
Let's ban those books.
Ban the books.
Our fragile little angels need protecting. As long as we are at it, it's time that we confront another book that's controversial and quite scary. Full of body parts and words that are quite dirty and far too blunt. We need to save our children from the dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
Ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
Think of all the minds and hearts it is infecting. Ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
Let's ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
Our fragile little angels need protecting. Forbidding what offends us is our First Amendment right. And some ugly things in history are better left unlearned. They could make us feel guilty or not let us sleep at night. So it's high time these disturbing books were all stacked up and burned. I know there was a book about book burning, Fahrenheit something or other, but I never read it because it was banned. And speaking of books that ought to be banned, I mean, what parent lets their children read of human sacrifice? The harm to them is truly undeniable. Slavery, prostitution, and polygamy aren't nice. Since it's full of crap like that, let's ban the Bible. Ban the Bible.
Ban the Bible.
Ban the Bible.
Ban the Bible.
Think of all the minds and hearts it is infecting. Ban the Bible.
Ban the Bible.
Let's ban the Bible. Because our precious little angels need protecting. Ban the dictionary.
Ban the dictionary.
And ban the Bible.
Ban the Bible.
Think of all the minds and hearts they are infecting. Ban the books.
Ban the books.
Ban all the books.
Ban all the books.
Don't fill each dainty head with stuff we've never read. Because our precious little angels who play violent video games and send each other nude selfies need protecting.
Ban all those books.
Oh, Lauren Mayer does it again. Ban the books. You know, I miss it. You know, during the pandemic, I was playing a lot of these song parodies and there were tons of them. It seemed like everybody and his brother was doing one about COVID. So when they weren't overtly political, they were COVID songs. And one of the artists who I discovered during this time is in South Africa. Interestingly enough, South Africa, you know, they did the right thing here, by the way, by discovering this, I forget the name of the new variant. I keep wanting to call it omnipotent, but that's not what it is. You know what I'm talking about. It was in other places before. It was in South Africa, but we've banned all travel from South Africa. Doesn't make any sense to me, but nobody asked me. But one of the many silver linings from the pandemic was my discovery of this artist who goes by the name of The Kiffness. And he's uber talented. And what he's been doing lately is really interesting. It just hasn't really fit in with what we do here, so I haven't played it. But he goes out and he samples sound, whether it's the guy selling fish at the market going, 10 pence a fish or whatever. And then he samples that and makes a beat out of it and turns it into a song. You should check out his YouTube channel if you want a time suck. Somebody that's really creative. He has cats meowing and making these noises, and he samples them and turns them into beats and makes a song about. I mean, it's just remarkable. But he published a song yesterday that, and I don't think Sandy, Environmental Coffee House, is in the YouTube chat today. I know she was not feeling well yesterday. I'm going to have to send her this one because it has to do with what Shell Oil is doing on the coast of South Africa. And it's astounding. It's stunning. So there are notes, text notes on this video that go along with it. I will share them. I'll read them for you as we go along for those of you who are listening to the audio stream or the podcast and don't get to see it, okay? But I need to share this with you because it's that good. It's called A Song for Shell Oil. The Kiffness. It says, on December 1st, Shell will begin blasting air guns off of South Africa's coast. The blasting may injure and kill thousands of whales, dolphins, and other marine animals that live there.
Imagine no seismic blasting. It's easy if you try. No Shell on the wild coast. And no government ties. Imagine all the creatures living in the sea. Yeah, imagine being a dolphin. It isn't hard to do. Then Shell start blasting for oil.
Then Shell start blasting for oil.
Ends up killing you. Imagine all the creatures dying for some grease. You Shell may say that it's legal, but I'm not the only. That Shell should go and themselves, and the wild coast should be left alone. We cannot let this happen. And if Shell follow through, fill up at another station. They do. Imagine all the creatures that we could save today. You Shell may say that it's legal, but I'm not the only one who thinks that Shell should go and f*** themselves, and the wild coast should be left alone.
To hell with Shell, save the wild coast. For every 10 seconds, 24 hours a day, for the next 5 months straight, a seismic air gun will be blasted on the Wild Coast up to 250 decibels, the decibel level of an atomic bomb. Imagine all the creatures. Yeah, that's the Kiffness. And I thought it was necessary to play that. All right, now whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. How are you today?
Oh, you know, I guess as well as can be expected, given that the world is crumbling around us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent an hour today on the phone with a very close old friend, someone I went to college with and stayed close with ever since. And we talked. He's a sports shooter, and he knows more about guns than anyone I know.
Okay.
And I called him to get some advice about what sort of guns to buy.
Oh, really? You know,
I've never owned one before. I used to go target practice shooting when I worked at Warner Brothers, just because I had so much stress from the job, and I found shooting would relieve the stress. So I really enjoyed it on that level. Just shooting, you know, paper targets.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never actually thought about owning a gun, and now I am.
Yeah, we've had that discussion too, and I found out sort of in a roundabout way that David, my husband, actually is trained. He's a very good shot. We don't have a gun in this house, and I've been vehemently against it, but I've been rethinking that lately because the crazies are armed. And we're not. And I still don't want to go anywhere near the gun, but I know that he can handle it. He went to a shooting range with a friend a couple of years back, and he brought back the target, and they were all, you know, right there. So at least I'd feel confident with him, and I don't have a child in the house anymore. The idea still sort of, you know, weirds me out. But I don't like what's going on in this country right now. I think it's frightening.
Yeah. I do too. I mean, and if it just stopped right now where it is, it's bad enough.
Yeah.
But I feel like heading down a very, very dark path, and that scares me.
You and me both. I just read a piece from Common Dreams about these efforts, this new program that's happening sort of under, you know, the cover of darkness to privatize Medicare, and it's not Medicare Advantage. That's bad enough because it allows for-profit insurance extortionists, as I call them, to take over your Medicare, so it's no longer traditional Medicare. Medicare will cover whatever ails you, traditional Medicare, but because the founders thought everybody needs to have some, not the founders, the people who came up with Medicare, everybody needed some skin in the game, so they included this 20% responsibility for the patient. It wasn't out of necessity. It was just because they thought they don't want to give everybody a handout. And so those costs keep going up. So Medicare Advantage comes along. The for-profit insurance companies say, hey, we'll cover you without that supplemental. We'll take care of your drugs too. And hey, we'll throw in extra money and we'll throw in a gym membership and all this other stuff. But for that, they get to deny you services the way they do with their regular clients. Well, now there's this other program that's called direct contracting. And it was started by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid during the final months of the Trump administration. And it's horrific. And the Biden administration is just continuing it in secrecy. I mean, most of Congress doesn't even know this is happening. Have you heard about it, Howie?
No.
I'm going to send you this article from Common Dreams because it is frightening.
Are you saying that it's already in action? People are already part of it?
Yes. It's already in 53. Let me see if I can't find it. I just read this part of it. At present, the pilot program includes 53 of these direct DCEs, which are direct contracting entities, which could be anything. It doesn't have to be a healthcare or health insurance company. In many cases, they are like hedge funds and investors. At present, the pilot includes 53 of these DCEs in 38 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico. 28 of them are controlled by investors, not healthcare providers. And a second tranche of them is expected to be released to come online next month.
And did this article talk about why Biden is keeping this going?
No. And it seems like that's the one thing I don't know. I don't understand. And I hope to come up with some answers. There's a woman who works at Social Security Works with Alex Lawson, Diane Archer, who's quoted in this. I'm going to reach out to her and try to get her on the show to find out more about this, because this is horrible. Now, I think you have traditional Medicare, right? And they took care of you went through experimental cancer treatments that had to have been expensive, and they covered you no problem whatsoever, right?
Right. No one ever said a word, and I stopped looking at the bills when they got over $2 million.
Oh, my God. And the thing is,
and I was I never got a bill. I never got asked for any money. It was just smooth as can be. It was wonderful.
So you have traditional Medicare and a Medicare gap policy to cover the other 20% and the Part D as well. But, you know, that adds up. So your average person, for instance, like me, I can't afford that. So I'm going to be enticed into the Medicare Advantage nonsense where, as my husband is, and the insurance company will deny you drugs or tests or whatever.
Well, traditional Medicare, I mean, it's
doesn't
not really
do
traditional,
that.
but Medicare Part D denies anyway.
Right. Well, that's
Medicare Part D is what I call Republican Medicare. It sucks.
It's
the drug part. It's
right.
Absolutely terrible. I love Medicare. I mean, I just explained, you and I both just explained about the cancer treatment and how great it was. The one part of Medicare that's no good is Medicare Part D. Not one Democrat in the House voted for it. Every
wow.
single Democrat voted no. This is George Bush's idea
right.
of a handout to Big Pharma. It's absolutely horrible. I mean, one of the side effects and that almost everybody gets from chemo is neuropathy.
Right.
So, you know, there's a drug that's very, very expensive. I've talked about this before, but it's about $10,000 a month. And Medicare won't cover it unless you have diabetes. If you have diabetes, because diabetic neuropathy. So if diabetic peripheral neuropathy is exactly the same, no difference, it's 100% the same as the kind of peripheral neuropathy that you get from chemo.
Right.
They're the same. But if you've got diabetes, they cover it for you. If you don't have diabetes, they will not touch it. I've been fighting with them for years about it, and they won't do anything about it. So I have to schlep to some other country every now and then to buy it, where it's not inexpensive, but it's not $10,000 a month. It's a tenth of that.
Wow. Wow. See, this is so wrong. I just emailed you that article so you can read it and look at it.
Because
you've utilized the Medicare program more and more successfully than anyone I know. And, you know, I wish... I can't believe I'm saying this, that we could afford the regular traditional Medicare, but we're going through Medicare Advantage. And I thought that was the scam. I thought that was how they were going to privatize Medicare. I didn't even know about this direct thing, which is just, it's direct contracting. This is from Tomlinson, who is this? Somebody who was involved in the fight against this wrote in the Houston Chronicle, arguing that the Biden administration's decision to allow this program to continue, quote, reflects for-profit health companies and investors' power over both political parties. And he added, direct contracting is also likely to kill any chance for progressive Democrats to make Medicare an option for any American who wants to enroll. If the government puts private companies in charge of all Medicare patients, it will eliminate any opportunity to overhaul our healthcare system truly.
Horrible. Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Sick.
One more thing.
I'll read it and then I'll speak to some members of Congress and ask them what they know about it.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So we got that out of the way. So, Howie, what a week this has been. The Supreme Court showed its new lineup. And, Susan Collins, I wonder how she's feeling about Brett Kavanaugh today. But now she
yeah.
says she won't comment on Brett Kavanaugh until after they release their decision, which won't happen until June. Like, she doesn't know what he's going to say?
Well, no one really knows. I mean, right? I mean, we got a hint of what their
yeah.
of what their thinking is and the questioning. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how they're going to vote. If I had a bet, if I was forced to bet on it, I would bet the worst. But we don't know for sure, and I'd rather that we don't assume the worst
right.
necessarily. We should probably prepare ourselves for the worst.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you wrote a piece that's posted a couple of hours ago up at downwithtyranny.com, and the headline reads, "How much will taking away women's choice hurt the GOP in the midterms?" Now, the good thing about them not releasing the opinion, their decision, until June when the term ends, is that July, August, September, October, that the election is just like 4 months later. So,
and that's about the span of attention that people have.
That's right.
So that'll be an interesting thing, because it will definitely motivate Republicans. They're always motivated by ending choice. But I think, and other people also think, that it's going to be way more motivational for Democrats and for people and independents who are concerned about this and for people who don't normally vote. I think it'll turn out lots and lots of people who just normally just would not vote, who won't like the fact that they're overstepping their bounds so tremendously. So I you know, in terms of politics, electoral politics, it's probably going to be helpful to Democrats if they do kill this thing. Did you watch now I can't remember her name, the Supreme Court person from Ceylon who Rachel Maddow has on all the time?
No, are you talking about Dahlia Lithwick?
Yes, Dahlia was on last night.
I think she's with Slate, but no, I didn't see her. But what'd she say?
She was really good. She's very, very pessimistic about the results. She thought that she could read between the lines from what they said, and she thinks it's going to be they're going to work towards getting rid of it. Now, they're not going to necessarily just say, okay, it was wrongly decided and we're overturning it. She doesn't think that'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
But in effect, what it's going to do is give every state the right to do what Texas and Mississippi have done, which is basically to abolish choice for women.
Right.
Now, you know, she also thinks that they won't accept the vigilantism of the Texas law, but Texas won't need that anymore. If the thing that they argued yesterday, which is the Mississippi law, if that goes through, Texas doesn't need the vigilantism. They'll just go right into abolishing abortion,
right,
which is what they ultimately want, and that is probably what's going to happen.
But let me ask you this, Howie, because for all these years, this has been a hedge issue for Republicans, a big fundraising issue for them, where they, you know, on the subject of abortion. But the way I've always looked at it is they never intended to actually do it. It's too big of a moneymaker for them. And they know that a lot of people, I mean, the majority of the country is against killing Roe v. Wade. So they use it as a hedge issue, as a fundraiser, but without any intention of ever making it happen until Trump comes in and the crazies, you know, the foxes start running the hen house, and all of a sudden it's here. And I think a lot of them are freaking out. It's like, oh shit.
Some of them. It depends on the districts. In the House districts, it's easy to predict who feels what. I mean, someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, for her it's fine. You know,
yep.
She's got a district that doesn't fit in the national scope of things. I mean, in her district, they want to get rid of abortion. It's a backward, primitive district. There are morons who live in her district,
mm-hmm.
and it's overwhelmingly anti-choice. So she's fine. But then move to almost any state. So we're talking about senators, and they have a problem. Especially senators who aren't in the South. How are Republican senators in a state like Wisconsin, how are they going to handle this? It's going to be very, very hard, because a state like Wisconsin, a state like Ohio, a state like Pennsylvania, they don't have those big statewide majorities. Some of the congressional districts do, but statewide, it's going to be a problem for them.
Right.
We'll see what happens. I mean, the House already passed a codification of Roe v. Wade, but the Senate hasn't voted on it yet. And it should be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, they need 60 votes. I don't know that they can get 60 votes. They can definitely pass it. So if it were voted on today, the House would be able to pass it. But the filibuster won't allow a vote where they need where they need that 60 votes. So we'll see.
Right.
But that's where Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, they'll definitely vote with the Democrats. Now, I want to point something out, though, that people should pay attention to.
Okay.
When the House voted on it, every single Republican, no exceptions, voted no. So not a single Republican voted against this thing. Not a single Republican voted for this thing.
Right.
One Democrat voted against it. Henry Cuellar in Texas, he voted with the Republicans. So it was every single Republican plus Henry Cuellar voted against the codification of Roe v. Wade.
Wow. Why is Henry Cuellar a Democrat?
I talked about that in my post as well,
right.
And I asked the, there are two progressive women, Tanya Benavides and Jessica Cisneros, who are running against Cuellar. And they're both very, very concerned about this, as you can imagine. And I quoted both of them in my story. Also ask people to consider donating to one of their campaigns, both of their campaigns. Mm-hmm. These are strong women who are, very, very, very angry, and about the same thing that we all are angry about. But those of us who live in districts where we have Democratic representatives, as you do and as I do, at least we know that where our representatives stand. In their case, they've got a Democrat who votes for the Republicans.
Why is Henry Cuellar still a Democrat? Because he doesn't seem to act like one. He doesn't vote like one.
I know. Well, because in the past, that district has been a very blue district. It's overwhelmingly Hispanic. Well, now the district has changed enough so that he could probably jump parties and still win at least another couple of terms. It's not as blue as it once was.
Right.
Trump did well there.
Okay. God, everything is just so crazy. So I've been pushing diversions on people. It's like, it's important to stay current on what's going on, to know what's happening, to stay involved, but it's also important to have other things to take your mind off, to so you're not just focused on how bad things are and the rise of the Victorian era in the U.S. again in the 21st century. Makes no sense. So Howie, I want to pick up
on Victorian era. You've gone away from something much more present, which would be the Hitlerian.
Well, okay, I'll go to the Hitlerian. The Hitlerian, but the Victorian, because they're prudes. They want to burn books, but I guess it all works with Hitler. All right, Hitler's more recent and more. And if fucking Laura Logan or whatever her name is, who used to be on 60 Minutes and now is full blown Foxy, she's doubling down on calling Anthony Fauci Dr. Mengele.
Yes.
Where are we? What the hell?
And one of the senators or somebody today said they can't believe he's not in prison. He should be in jail for at least 5 years.
What?
These people are out of their minds.
They're out of their minds.
And it doesn't do any good for us to just keep saying they're out of their minds.
I know. We need the diversions. Otherwise, your blood pressure is going to be through the roof and you're going to be stressed out and, may manifest in other ways. So
what diversions are you enjoying?
I am the Beatles. Get Back. Have you watched it?
No.
Are you not a Beatles fan?
I like them enough, but not. I wouldn't describe myself as a Beatles fan.
Wow! So you're not interested in this? I think it's brilliant. I mean, there are parts that it's like, okay, this is really getting in the weeds, but you see the songs developing. It's just very cool to be in the studio with them at the moment when they're, as these songs are coming together. So, but you said a few minutes ago that when you were at Warner Brothers, your stress was so high. Now, you were the president of Reprise Records, so I guess that's a high-stress job. But what was so stressful about it?
Well, every single thing. I mean, you've got all these things in mind all the time, like dealing with whatever problems every employee has, every artist has. You have to worry about everyone who you come in contact with. You're the final
say.
The buck stops with you.
Right.
With me.
Right.
In that case.
So if today, let's just say today, you're still president of Reprise Records and you have an artist, one of your most high profile artists, I know you hate talking about it, but Eric Clapton, who goes batshit crazy on the vaccine, that adds to your stress.
That would be very stressful, yes. we had things like that, not that, but we had things similar things that artists had to deal with, and the holding hand thing wasn't necessarily the most stressful thing in the world, but there were things that were unpleasant, we tended not to fire people, but there were instances where we had to. There were artists that also, the first thing that happened, when I was made president was I dropped Ted Nugent.
Oh, good for you. Yay. One more reason to love Howie Klein. Okay.
The thing is that he was a profitable artist, so it's very hard to do that. But I just could not deal with the idea that I was going to have to deal with Ted Nugent.
Cool.
It was just too much.
I didn't know he was on Reprise, but good. Thank you.
Actually, I shouldn't have said Ted Nugent because what it really was the Damn Yankees.
Okay, was his band at the time. Got it. Damn, yeah, I remember them. They were not very good.
But no, they weren't very good, and you know, still his band. You know, I keep getting these gifts without cards.
Uh-oh.
I just got another one just now while we were talking.
Yeah?
Someone dropped the Express, whatever, I don't know, it says Express. UPS Express.
Okay.
A beautiful gift. And who the hell is it from? There's no card.
Really?
And this is the second one this week. And I feel bad.
Can you call UPS and ask them who sent it?
Yes.
I guess I have
a tracking number and things like that on it.
That's weird. Now, I heard you opening something. I didn't know what it was, but care to share what it is?
Well, it comes from Frete. So whatever it is, someone spent some real money on it. I've gone through several layers of packaging now, and I'm almost there. But, okay.
All right.
Another
now,
layer.
Now I'm invested
layer
in this.
Oh, smells good. Oh, wait, it's three different kinds of, let's see, what is this, cologne or something? It's a bunch of good smelling liquids.
Okay. not ingestible, but topical?
Oh, yeah, like shaving lotion, uh-huh, and cologne and stuff like that.
Wow. Maybe somebody's trying to tell you something.
To shave more often? I don't know. The smell is so fantastic. I mean,
wow.
Now, the thing is that a lot of my friends know I'm a big Frete fan, although they might know that. But you would think that they would put a card in something
right.
like this. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is not inexpensive, but there's no indication what it is.
That's strange.
And the other one that I got the other day was from an outfit called Olive and Coco.
Okay.
Have you heard of them?
No.
No, I hadn't either. But it's a fancy box of chocolates and all the goodies, but everything's with sugar. It's all sugar.
Oh, that's not
good.
So
it's not even someone who really knows me well, because everyone who knows me well knows I don't eat sugar.
Right. Huh. That's weird.
And I have a story about that coming out, by the way, not about the gift, about sugar, coming out tonight.
Oh, do
late
you?
Tonight. There's a new, sugar substitute. Which looked interesting. For someone who's like totally not into sugar, it might not be the very, very best thing.
Right.
But supposedly it's really good. I haven't tasted it yet. I think I'm going to soon. But it's very environmental friendly as well.
Okay. What do you know? What it's called?
Yeah, it's called Supplant. SUPPLANT.
All right. Well, I'm just getting used to the taste of stevia. Now they're bringing something else.
Well, I love stevia.
I do too.
I use it all the time.
I do too.
And I love xylitol, and I use that all the time. But this is something else.
Gotcha. All right.
You know, I'm looking at these things that smell really good.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say what they are.
That's so weird.
I mean, there's three different bottles, and the bottles, it's made in Italy. Okay,
is there
so
any return address on the UPS shipping label? Doesn't say who it's from? No?
No, just UPS.
Wow. Okay. Well.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird. No, Mike Petty, not Splenda. Splenda is bad shit.
No, not Splenda.
Not Splenda.
Nothing like that. No, no. Those things are worse than sugar.
Horrible.
Well, I don't know if it's worse than sugar, but they're
I just saw
bad.
Mike Petty in the chat room just wrote Splenda, and that's why I said, no, not Splenda. Try stevia. Really, it's good, and it'll take care of your need for sweetness,
it's natural. And this new stuff that I wrote about for tonight, it's a plant, that's also, it's made out of like, stalks and husks rice and corn and wheat. So it's all this like waste material that would normally get burned by farmers and pollute the air.
Interesting.
So it's all stuff that, you know, they're able to now get like sweetener out of, but it's got a very low glycemic index. It's low on the glycemic index and you know, less than 50% of the calories. So on a lot of levels, it's good. Now I looked at everything I could find, and it hasn't been analyzed by medical people yet. And so, it's not on Google if it has been.
Uh-huh.
So I really do want to see what the health consequences are, because sugar is one of the worst things that you can eat in terms of health.
Yeah.
You know, both heart disease and cancer are very, very much connected to sugar. So that's why xylitol and stevia are so good, because they don't cause those things.
Okay. Well, that's good advice to listen to. Howie Klein, we're out of time. As always, thank you. So you're going to put this piece up at Down with Tyranny tonight. We can look for it then?
Yes, tonight, or if you're on the East Coast tomorrow morning,
gotcha.
Probably, because it goes up tonight at 9, which is midnight your time.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I will look for it tomorrow then. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. While you're there, check out the Blue America PAC page and support real progressives who are running, because those are the people we need. If anyone's going to save us, it's them.
So, and ourselves.
And ourselves. But we need to help them help us. Help you help them help us.
Help!
Help! All right. Thanks, Howie.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye. See you next week. Bye-bye. All right. With that, we're done for the day. Don't forget, tomorrow, Jason Leopold will be here at the top of the show to talk about his latest FOIA win. We are going to get some dirt that had been held back from the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to be joined by Chris Willman of Variety to talk further about this Beatles show. In case you're like living under a rock and don't know what I've been raving about for a couple of days now, it is a three-part series, like a mini-series, on produced, directed by Peter Jackson. Yes, in New Zealand, the Lord of the Rings guy. And he poured through something like 160 hours of footage of the Beatles in the studio as they were recording Let It Be and the songs that became Abbey Road as they were writing them. It's stunning. There are parts that are slow. There are parts that some people have even described as boring, though it hurts me to say that. But I wouldn't cut a minute of it, because it's just, it's a slice of history from 1969. This is over 50 years ago, and you're in the room with them. It is history. And if you lived that music, as so many of us did, I certainly did, you really can't. I mean, the more I watch it, we rushed through dinner and shower and everything to get in the living room to sit down and watch this thing. And I think we're almost done with the second episode. Again, it's 3 2-hour episodes. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, and music and stuff. Okay. All right. With that, I love blueberries too. I love blueberries. Yes, I do. Mike Petty said, Get Back was incredible. It shows just how prolific George was as a songwriter. Mike, Paul McCartney wrote Get Back. George wrote some great songs, but Paul McCartney was the prolific songwriter in the group, at least in this movie. So you need to watch it. you'll learn more about each of them. It's really, I think it's brilliant. So it's giving me joy outside of this, which is what we need. You need something to focus in on that is not the dysfunction that is America today. All right, I'll leave you with the news, and I'll see you back here tomorrow to stick a fork in this week, because thank goodness it'll be done. All right, have a good one, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Take it, Nicole.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Supreme Court heard arguments Wednesday in a case from Mississippi that's a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade. It appears the justices, now with at least 5 of the 9 hardcore right-wingers, will uphold the 2018 Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. That's contrary to precedent set in 1973 in the landmark Roe v. Wade decision, which has guaranteed women the right to terminate pregnancies up until the point of fetal viability at about 24 weeks. Chief Justice John Roberts suggested a middle ground position that would uphold the Mississippi law, but stop short of entirely ending the right to abortion across the nation. Justice Brett Kavanaugh said that if Roe were overturned, states could still choose whether to keep the procedure legal and accessible. Such a suggestion, which could seriously hamper access to safe abortions for millions of people, is one of the reasons abortion rights allies are so concerned with this hearing. Justice Sonia Sotomayor called out the partisan nature of the court and the effects that could reverberate for a very long time.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? If people actually believe that it's all political, how will we survive? How will the court survive?
Sad news out of Michigan today, where a fourth student shot in the Oxford High School shooting outside of Detroit. The sheriff there said that the 15-year-old accused of opening fire, quote, came out with the intent to kill, shooting people at close range in the head or chest. The suspect pleaded not guilty on Wednesday to charges of terrorism causing death, 4 counts of first-degree murder, and 7 counts of assault with intent to murder. Prosecutors say the suspect planned the shooting and that his parents, who had just purchased the gun he allegedly used on Friday, also could face charges. On to those deadlines looming over D.C. Well, breaking news early Thursday morning, as House Appropriations Committee Chair Rosa DeLauro announced that they have reached an agreement on a spending deal to fund the government through mid-February, thereby avoiding a shutdown tomorrow night at midnight. On to the debt limit. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has warned that the federal government could run out of the ability to borrow more money by December 15th. Schumer and McConnell have been relatively quiet about it. Hopefully that means they're working on a solution. Regarding the Build Back Better bill, it's now been more than 2 weeks since the House passed the $1.7 trillion package, and so far, not much has happened in the Senate. Part of the delay was the Thanksgiving recess, but the parliamentarian hasn't even ruled officially on all the provisions in the House bill yet, so no one knows what's in or out. And of course, there's Senator Joe Manchin, who is insisting that he will not back a paid leave provision backed by progressives. And Democrats are still fighting among themselves over a state and local tax deduction. Chuck Schumer has declared repeatedly that he wants Build Back Better passed through the Senate by Christmas. Yeah, good luck with that one. And then there's the National Defense Authorization Act, which was expected to move on Wednesday, but was instead blocked by one Marco Rubio. Yeah, he's pushing for an amendment dealing with Uyghur Muslim forced labor camps. Chuck Schumer says that would violate the rule against the Senate originating any revenue measures and would in fact take down the entire bill if adopted. In election news, Democrat Stacey Abrams finally announced she's in to run for governor of Georgia, once again setting up another challenge against current Governor Brian Kemp. Abrams ran against Kemp in 18 and lost by 1.4 percentage points. Now on to COVID. California officials on Wednesday confirmed the first case in the U.S. of the Omicron variant, which the World Health Organization has identified as a variant of concern. The infected person was an individual traveler who returned from South Africa on November 22nd, was fully vaccinated, and the CDC says had mild symptoms that are improving. The person is self-quarantining and has been since testing positive. At the White House, Dr. Anthony Fauci urged Americans to, quote, get boosted now, and he added that we may not need a variant-specific boost. And finally,
take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
1995. That was the last time Major League Baseball operations were disrupted by a work stoppage, 26 years ago. Well, the collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and the Players Union expired Wednesday night at midnight without a resolution. So baseball's 30 controlling owners voted unanimously Wednesday night to lock out the players. In fact, Wednesday's meeting lasted less than 10 minutes. The union demanded change following anger over such issues as declining average salary and veterans thrown out in favor of lower paid young players. Stay tuned. And that's just a bit of what's news for now on Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.